Well, we're privileged today to have Blake Schottland with us to share. He is the president, chief executive officer, and one of the founders of Red River Bank based in Alexandria. Mr. Schottland had 14 years experience with regional banking organizations when at the age of 35, he had the chance to lead the formation of Red River Bank in 1999. And today, Red River Bank has 24 locations in Northwest, Central, and South Louisiana, and is one of the top six banks based in Louisiana with almost $2 billion in total assets. That's amazing, and that's a real credit to Blake's leadership. Mr. Schottland is a native of Bunkie and started his college career at LSU Alexandria before transferring and graduating from LSU Baton Rouge with a BS in finance. He's been married to Belle Caffey Schottland for 32 years, and together they have four young men. And as I saw that, I thought, yep, I remember being a 6, 7, 8-year-old kid next door to the Caffeys at LSUA when Dr. Caffey was chancellor and seeing Blake and Belle dating. Say no more. We'll say no more. No more. I'm remembering a Jeep. Did somebody have a Jeep, or is that? Wow. Golly. It's amazing. Just remember, probably because I thought that was cool and needed one. Blake was appointed to the LSU Board of Supervisors in 2008 and has served as the chairman of the board as well as other leadership roles on the board. And, of course, he's very active in civic organizations, both past and present, serving currently as chairman of the Central Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. Others include the Rapides Foundation, Rotary, United Way, Caring People's Pharmacy, and the Red Cross. And he's also a deacon at Calvary Baptist Church. So please join me in welcoming Blake Schottland.
Yeah, Stuart, we won't talk about those days. If there was anything bad happening, it was my wife, Belle. Before we get started, I'd like to show you a video. This is a video that every time we have quarterly all-employee meetings, and whenever we kind of get together and have all our employees together, we start out that meeting with this video. So if you don't mind, Danny. Those are the things that we like to remind ourselves every day, every time that we're together, that we believe in as an organization. And let me say thank you for letting me share a few moments with you this morning. I know that nothing is more exciting on a Monday than talking about banking, and so hopefully I won't bore you too much. Brian, thank you for those comments. I had written down Ecclesiastes 9:10. It's one of my favorite verses, and it starts out, whatsoever your hands do, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. And I think that I've always reflected on that verse, and I wake up every day trying to make sure that whatever talents that he has given me and the place that he has put me in my life and the opportunities that he's given me, that I will do it with all my might. And so what I thought I would do is share a little bit with you this morning about the history of the bank. And, you know, I will tell you, it's the most intimidating crowd that I find that I can ever talk to is a group of friends and customers and church members and employees. And I look across the room and I see friends and church members and fellow co-workers. And so hopefully I won't say anything wrong, because there's a group in here that can hold me accountable. and you'll know if I'm not telling the truth. But what I thought I would do is just share a little bit, you know, about the bank's history and what our team has accomplished. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have. And again, what I'd like to do is kind of, as we are in our 20th year, walk you through a little bit of what we have been up to over the past 20 years at Red River Bank. And so I'll hit a few slides. You can't read this, but it'll be a prompt. This is just kind of a looking back at our 20-year history. We started working on the bank in 1998. I was at Rapides Bank. We were acquired by Bank One, and as we went through that that kind of process of integrating the two, a group of us just saw that there was going to be an opportunity to start a local community bank. And so in mid-98, we started working on that. From mid-98 until January of 1999, when we opened it up, that was about a six-month process of putting the capital together, getting all the approvals, and starting the bank. As I look back, I'm amazed how quick we were able to get that done. The regulatory environment today, I would tell you, it would take you at least 2 years to accomplish that same thing if we tried to do that today. But we opened the doors in January of 1999, having raised about $12.5 million in capital. I'll tell you, Kerry Roy, who's sitting back there, Kerry occupied one of our desks out in the middle of the lobby as a personal banker, and the first thing I did is said, Kerry, start working on a branch in Pineville for us. And so Kerry immediately, in between opening accounts and doing that, started working on the plans to put a branch together for us in Pineville. We opened up in October of 1999, right, Kerry?
October 12th.
There you go. So she put that together. Today, that's our largest branch outside of our main office. And so in that first year, we had two branches that we opened up here in this community. And we quickly kind of built out Central Louisiana. Then about 5 years into it, when Capital One acquired Bank Hibernia, I called some friends of mine who were with Hibernia in Shreveport and asked them if they would be willing to start up an operation for us in the Shreveport-Bossier market. And so a guy by the name of Harold Turner, who of course had been in this market for a long time, kind of led our startup in the Shreveport-Bossier market. And so we built six branches in that location. Then about 5 years ago, we made a small acquisition that brought us into the Baton Rouge market. Along the way, we had also picked up Bank LeCount, which was, of course, a bank that we're all familiar with that served LeCount and Forest Hill. But we bought a bank in Baton Rouge that had about five locations, about $100 million in total assets, gave us a platform into that market. And then about 2 years ago, we moved into the Lake Charles market with a loan production office. And then just last week, we opened up our first location in the Covington market. And so that's kind of a look back at the progress that we've had in terms of building out the 24 locations over the past 20 years. And so kind of, again, as you look at the footprint, just kind of shows you where we're located. Still have some work to do, but certainly well represented across the state of Louisiana. Continue to work every day to look and find additional opportunities for our continued growth. just to give you a little bit of a snapshot, and I'll come back. As I would also point out, and I didn't point out on our timeline, but we actually just completed this year an initial public offering, and we took the bank public. We had, at the time of going public, we had about 550 shareholders that had helped to capitalize the bank, start the bank. So we ran 20 years as a private company. Felt like the time had come that it would be good to take the bank public, give us better access to capital, have liquidity for our shareholders. And so in May, we registered the shares with the NASDAQ. We're now traded under the symbol RRBI as a public company here in Central Louisiana with a market cap of about $350 million and assets of about $2 billion. Just as we look at market share, kind of where we stand in this market and other markets around the state, and again, I apologize if you can't see these well, I'll try and point it out, but here in Rapides Parish, this side here will show you kind of the deposits that are in the market. I'm sorry if my pointer's not showing up there. But this is about a, if you look at the Rapides Parish market, at about a $2.3 billion market. We have about $977 million, or about 43% of the market share here in Rapides Parish. If you combine Ovoyles, we're about $1 billion in total deposits in Central Louisiana, which puts us in the first leading market share here in Central Louisiana. If we go on through the other markets, you can see in Caddo-Bossier, we are the sixth largest bank out of 21 banks in that market, which is about a $5.3 billion market. Overall, in the Northwest market, if you include Caddo-Bossier, DeSoto, we rank eighth out of 23 banks in that market. In East Baton Rouge, that's about a $16 billion market. Again, out of 30 banks that operate there, we're the eighth largest bank. Total deposits in that market of about $300 million. Calcasieu being the newest market that we're in, about a $4 billion market, a very vibrant, fast-growing market. There are 18 banks there. We're the 17th, so we've got room to roll there. And so when you look at, and I don't have the Covington market here as our newest location, but if you look at the state of Louisiana has about $106 billion in total assets in the state of Louisiana. We hold about $1.7 billion, which would make us the ninth largest bank that operates in the state of Louisiana. And I'll go into a little bit more detail on that in a second. But we have about 1.5% of the deposit market share in Louisiana. So as I tell our team all the time, and they'll nod their heads and say they've heard this before, we've got a lot of room to run. So at 1.5%, we're proud that in all of the markets that we operate in, we're in the top 10 markets or the top 10 banks in each of those markets. We try to be a significant leader in all of those markets and be very engaged in the communities. And so we're proud of the positions that we're in all of the markets. But as I said, we have a lot of opportunity ahead of us. This just gives you a snapshot. There are 128 banks in the state of Louisiana. This would give you kind of a ranking of how those banks stack up. This is just based on deposits that are in the state. It's kind of hard to, with banks, you can't really get a good snapshot of what assets they hold, except for one time a year when we're all required to file some branch deposit reports. And so every June we file those reports and we can kind of see where everybody is. But you can see the top 10 banks that operate in the state of Louisiana. These are only the deposits that are held in Louisiana. So for instance, Capital One is much larger than $18 billion, but they hold $18 billion in deposits here in the state of Louisiana. Same for J.P. Morgan. You're talking about a $1 trillion bank in the state of Louisiana. They hold about $17 billion. So you can see, based on this, we are number 9 in terms of banks that operate in the state of Louisiana. If we just look at it based on banks that are based in Louisiana, so just that would be starting with Iberia. It's those banks that are listed in blue there, except for us, which we're in red. We would be number 6 in terms of banks that are based in Louisiana in terms of rankings of deposits that we hold. And so, again, just to kind of give you a snapshot, I think we always say that in our organization that it's not about how big we are. Certainly banking takes some scale, but what we want to do is execute well every day, take great care of customers, and we always believe that if we take great care of customers, everything else will take care of itself. One of the things I always like to point out when we look at this list, and again, you see where we have come over the past 20 years. If I look at most of the banks on here, most of these banks have acquired that or have received and achieved that scale based on acquisitions. And so they've made a lot of acquisitions along the way to kind of create the bank that they are. In our case, I've mentioned 2 acquisitions. That would represent roughly about $120 or $130 million in total assets. So I always say that about 90% of the growth that we have received or achieved has just been done one customer at a time. And so it's opening up a branch in a new market. It's taking great care of customers. It's hopefully those customers telling other customers about it and us just doing it one brick at a time, one customer at a time, which again, I think differentiates us a little bit from the other banks that are on this list. You saw in my opening video that we believe in leadership in our communities. We believe in doing a lot in our communities. We think that as banks, we should really be one of those leaders in helping our communities to grow and prosper. And so we try to put a lot of emphasis in there. We ask our employees to find a cause that they're passionate about and to get involved. And I always say, find something that you're passionate about, because certainly if you're serving in an organization that you don't really believe in, it's hard to put your heart and soul into it. And so we always encourage our folks to really find something that they love to do and that they want to make a difference in and get involved. And so as we look back at last year, our employees gave about 10,000 hours of volunteer services in those organizations, about 220 different organizations. We started years ago recognizing that financial literacy was such a problem. Kids get out of school. I feel guilty. My own kids do this. They get out of school and they don't really understand what it's like to balance a checkbook and pay bills. And so there's such a challenge with financial literacy in our communities. And so we started an organization we call Red River Bank University, which goes into classrooms, goes into schools, goes into churches, and teaches financial literacy classes. And so last year, Red River Bank University did about 80 classes, touching about 4,000 people on things such as how do you prepare yourself to buy a new home, how do you improve your credit score, how do you save for retirement, those kind of basic financial management classes. And then also, you can see below that, kind of the sponsorships and the money that we give for community reinvestment services, sponsorships in our communities that we serve, totaling about $350 million in total that was given in 350,000, sorry, that was given. If I said $350 million, I'd get a lot more requests tomorrow, I'm sure. $350,000 in total sponsorships last year. You know, from a business strategy standpoint, you know, what I would tell you is, I mean, every bank is a little bit different. Every bank has a little bit different strategy. We kind of got our roots started as a commercial bank. I was a commercial lender when I started my career with Hibernia here in Alexandria, started making commercial loans. When I joined Rapids Bank, I was managing our commercial group, and so that's kind of what I understood and knew in banking. And when we started the bank, it was a group of commercial lenders that really didn't know a lot about how to run the basics of a bank. I remember waking up the first day after we had started taking deposits and thinking, boy, I really hope this technology works and we can keep up with everybody's money. Carrie would remember the day that if you're, my office is in the lobby of the bank, it's in the corner, it backs up to the drive-up lane, and the day that we looked in the back of in the drive-up lane and we had three cars backed up, we all kind of gathered in our office and were celebrating because we were thinking, hey, we might just make it. So that was a good day, was it not, Carrie? But we do a little bit of everything. We're a commercial bank. We make all the different commercial loans. We make a lot of, or we manage a lot of treasury management services for larger companies that want the tools to manage their cash well. Certainly on the retail side, again, I knew nothing about retail banking. We've kind of taught ourselves that along the way, and so we've got a very robust branch network, a pretty convenient branch network. Additionally, we do some 110, 120 million a year in mortgage loans that we sell into the secondary market. And we have an investment bank, an investment group that helps you to plan for retirement, invest your 401ks, and that sort of thing. That group holds about 600 million in assets under management with representatives in every one of the markets that we serve. Focusing a little bit more on strategy, if you've seen our ad, that we say sometimes you just have to choose both, and we play on this a little bit because we've got some ice cream trucks, so we like to use ice cream in some of our advertising. But I think we all see what's happening in banking these days and the shift to technology and you know, kind of the self-service, and it's not just banking, it's the grocery stores where you got to check out and bag your own groceries, and certainly, or if you're booking an airline flight, doing that yourself. And certainly that's happening in banking. And we believe that some customers want those tools. Some people want to be able to pay their bills at midnight or do everything on their mobile phone. But then there's also times where you just need to talk to somebody or you want to talk to somebody. And so Our challenge and what we're trying to do is make sure that we give you the options to do both. If you want to, if you wanted to use the technology, then we want to make sure that you've got the great tools and the technology that the larger banks have, but also that it's easy to get to some of our people. It's easy to have a conversation, to come into the branch and get that one-on-one personal service. And so strategically, we're trying to build a bank that lets you do both. And then our tagline, made in Louisiana and made for Louisiana. As I said earlier, our goal is not to be the biggest. We started the bank 20 years ago. Somebody asked me if I ever dreamed it would be as big as it is, and I said I had four boys, my wife wasn't working. I really just wanted to pay the bills and make a living. But we believe that if we took good care of customers, if we engaged in our community, if we did the right thing, that everything would take care of itself. And so I think that's what we have been trying to do for the past 20 years, is focus on doing those things. As we look at the landscape of banking and how it's changing, there's certainly going to always be the trillion-dollar banks that are out there that are doing things that we can never do, and that are investing in technology that we'll never have, and that are, you know, doing services around the globe. We don't see that being certainly something that we can do and do well. We've learned to kind of focus on what we do well and try to stick to what we do well. We know the lane that we should stay in. And so as we look at where the future takes us, we believe that we should focus on the state of Louisiana. We think it's a market that we understand. We think we understand the communities that are in Louisiana. As we look around our management team and our contacts, we know people throughout the state. And so we think we can go to markets like a Covington or a Lake Charles or a Baton Rouge. And we think that history has shown that what we've created here in central Louisiana will indeed export into other communities. And so we think we can take it throughout the state of Louisiana. We want to be big enough to be able to invest in the technology that we need, to be able to serve the type of commercial clients that we need. Our average commercial client is probably a customer that needs to borrow $5 or $6 million, wants treasury management services and all of the electronic tools and services that come with that. And so you have to have some scale, and we want the scale that it takes to be able to be a long-term player in this business. But we also want to stay small enough so that we can continue to be accessible, know our customers well, let our customers get to us, and continue to provide that high-level touch that we've been trying to do over the past 20 years. So that's what we've been up to. That's what we're going to keep trying to do. I would tell you that in kind of closing, and then I'll be glad to take some questions. But for me, it's been a 20-year faith journey. I remember when, you know, sometimes life just kind of takes you places and you don't really think a whole lot about it. And that's kind of how the formation of the bank started. We just saw that there was going to be an opportunity, and that we didn't think the merger of Rapides and Bank One was going to go that well. And so a few of us started this path, and it kind of just started to snowball. And pretty quickly, you know, I realized that I was way over my head. And wasn't sure if I knew what I was doing. And again, my wife wasn't working, and I had four small boys. I went to see my pastor, John Alley, and we had a long prayer time together, and I enlisted him on my team. Before we opened the bank, John Alley came in and prayed with our group and prayed for the blessings of what our team was trying to take over or take on. You know, from there, I think I have continued to try to build that those prayer support and that faith network. My wife has a group of ladies that are strong prayer warriors who lift us up on a regular basis. We started a tradition of every time we open a branch, the first thing we do before we unlock those doors is have one of the pastors in that area come into our branch. Last Monday, we were in Covington, and the pastor from Church of the King there in Covington came in, blessed our branch, prayed over our people, and asked for God's guidance. And so I think I have realized that I can't do this without help from my God. And so I pray often for wisdom, for discernment. I wake up every day praying that God will give me the wisdom and the discernment that I need, and the direction that I need, and the strength that I need for that day. And indeed, He has been faithful for 20 years. And I say that if anybody asks me about what has been achieved, first of all, it's the team of people that I'm surrounded with every day that make me look good They take great care of customers, and they care about what they do. And I'm lucky enough just to be the guy at the top who sometimes gets the credit. But it's also the blessing that God has given us to open up doors of opportunities, to send us the people that we need, the customer relationships that we need, the opportunities that we need to continue to grow the bank that we have today. So it's a privilege to be here. I hope that, you know, as you look at our bank, that you're proud that Red River Bank was started here in Central Louisiana and has moved across the state. And I thank you all for your support and your confidence in us and your prayers. And would ask y'all continue to lift up our bank and our team in prayers every day. So thank you for that. I'll be glad to answer any questions. Randy.
Yeah, I think it was just really neat that y'all went public. And I'm just curious, was that an easy process? Did you have professionals to help you? Or was it one of those processes that was really hard to work in, or somewhere in between? Or, you know,
it was hard. Well, you know, look, it was, again, it's one of those things that you don't know. You know, you talk to people and you do your research, but until you get into it, you don't really know what it's going to be like. And I think we always, from the time that we started the bank, said we were going to run the bank as if we were public, because we knew that if that day came, we didn't want to have to change a lot of things internally and it to be a shock on our systems. We didn't want our customers to realize the difference. We didn't want our employees to realize the difference. And so we came out of a public company that started the bank. So we always, I think, in terms of systems and processes, tried to build those things out and operate as if we were public. But the process was pretty grueling, and it took. We spent about 2 years planning for it. I spent a week on what they call a road show, where you started out in Boston, and then you were in Chicago, and then we were in New York for several days, just back-to-back meetings, telling the same story. And a lot of these slides kind of come out of that slideshow, just telling the investment community who we were, and what we were trying to do. I came home, and never has my prayer life been as strong as it was that week. I got home on a Friday. The Saturday morning, I got up and I weighed myself, and I said, "Belle, did you reset the scales?" And she said, "No, why?" And I said, "Well, because I lost 8 pounds." Because it was just one of those, kind of morning, noon, and night, and no time to really eat, plus not sleeping well, and just, kind of. You'd get to bed at about 11, and your head was kind of swirling from the day. So that was a challenging part of it. We really didn't need capital. The bank's extremely well capitalized, if you look at the ratios, as Randy. So it was more just trying to kind of raise the awareness of the bank and the investment community so that there would be liquidity out there in the shares. We were trying to sell roughly about $30 million in stock as part of the roadshow. We had subscriptions for about $230 million. When we left, it was myself, Isabel Carrier, our CFO, and Brian Salazar, who the three of us were on the roadshow, and I told the board, I said, "Look, if it goes well, it's all me. If it doesn't go well, these two are to blame." So I'll take credit. It went well. But no, it was an educational process, and it's been a good learning process. I think it's given us access to capital. There's 128 banks in the state of Louisiana. There's still roughly about 5,500 banks across the country. I think we see probably some opportunities over the next few years, hopefully to make some acquisitions, and having a public currency certainly helps that, as well as just having continued access to grow as you need the capital. And again, we had 550 shareholders who put up the investment that we needed to get the bank started. Being public certainly gives them liquidity if they need one day to sell some of their stock. Other questions? Randy, we'll get together and set interest rates afterwards too. So that's what everybody thinks us bankers do, is collude. Speaking of interest rates will go up or down. We just don't know when.
I'm on a homeowners association in condo.
Yes.
And one of our possible homeowners sued us sued against you, you can't get the secondary financing. And my question is, if somebody's buying a condo in that circumstance, and then you give a local financing, what's the difference in cost?
So you're saying that individual condo owner has a lien against it, so he might not be able to get secondary financing?
The homeowners association had a suit.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, the new buyer of the condo in our association couldn't get secondary financing.
Gotcha. Typically, your upfront cost, and I've got enough bankers in here, so y'all speak up if I'm, they don't let me handle a lot of details around the bank these days. But I think your upfront cost is not going to be a lot different. In fact, it may be a little bit lower. You're typically not going to get quite as good of an interest rate, and it won't be fixed as long. You know, today, 30-year mortgage rate is probably 3.5. You might be paying a quarter or half a point more, and it's not going to be locked in as long. But we'll be glad to. Yeah, that's just a ballpark.
I mean, you know, when somebody sues you, you say, what are you causing all this trouble for? And you know, it affects the whole community.
Sure.
You have trouble financing.
Sure. Yes, sir.
We're a lot more independent from printed money than we used to be. When will we get to the time we won't have printed money?
You know, what I would advise is let's hope we never do that. I mean, personally, I think that we should resist the government's move to move us into a totally digital world. So I hope we never get to that point. Clearly, I mean, we see, you know, my kids, you know, they're going to swipe for a $2 cup of coffee. But I think that there is still, you know, volume of cash in this country is still a very high payment or part of the payment sector. And so there's clearly a segment of the community that wants it. I mean, there are a lot of issues with the unbanked population that, you know, don't have access to a bank or can't handle a bank account or can't handle a credit card. And so their only payment option is cash. And so I do think that we should, I don't believe that we'll ever, in my lifetime, at least go to a totally cashless society. But, you know, we see the trends every day. I mean, you know, there was, you know, I, as I said earlier, I still sit in the lobby of the bank, and they pick at me sometimes because I won't move out of the lobby of the bank. But, you know, I enjoy seeing the customers come through and having a chance to visit with customers. But clearly, you know, I noticed that people that I used to see every week now only come in once a month. And so certainly you can do a lot of it without coming in. Technology's both it's a wonderful thing, and it's, you know, it's also sometimes a, you know, a complicating factor in our business. On one hand, you know, it's much cheaper for us to be able to handle a transaction that you do on your mobile phone. But again, we don't get the chance to visit with customers and develop those relationships as much. On the flip side, you know, I've got a son who's an architect in Denver, and he and his wife are married. They've been there 3 years. They still bank with us. And so it lets you bank anybody, anywhere. So like anything, there's good things about it. It's kind of like social media. There's good things about it, and there's a whole lot of bad things about it. Thank you all so much. Appreciate y'all.